Did you miss the headline and the top story of the day?
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Don't worry, because we got you covered.
This is how we do.
It's the Cattles and Rami.
Top Spot.
5 o'clock. That means it's time for the Top Spot here on this program. I'm the Rami half of that, by the way. That's the J half. Well, he's Jay filling in for the Nick half is what I meant to say.
We're close.
And
we're
Simone Friday. On the other side. It's Friday.
Friday at 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. Got an hour left.
One foot out the door.
I wouldn't put it that
Slide
way.
Slide to the co-op.
Yeah, I got to see if the girlfriend made anything for dinner. I hope not. So we can go to the after the way you guys just hyped it up.
Yeah,
but Jay, there's only one place to go for the top spot today, and that's the NBA draft and what the Kings did. Now, as far as the draft picks, they went and got Colby Jones, who by all indications, almost as solid and NBA ready as a second round player as you're going to get. Playmaker, he can pass the ball, good defender, he can shoot the three a little bit, hit 42% of his catch and shoot threes this past season. They also got Jalen Slauson out of Furman in the second round. By the way, we talked with Furman head coach Bob Ritchie earlier. If you missed that, go check it out on YouTube or SacktownSports.com. And check out all of Frankie Carticelli's fine work on draft night and the aftermath thereof at SacktownSports.com as well. But I don't think that was the big move last night, Jay. I think the big move was dealing Rashawn Holmes and the 24th pick to Dallas. That put the Kings in the position to open up more than $30 million in cap space this offseason. They now have the third most cap space in the league, Jay. How did you feel about what the Kings did last night on NBA draft night?
Absolutely loved it, Rami. I thought they did their thing. I think Monty was wheeling and dealing a la Ric Flair. And, I'm with it, man. You said this earlier in the show, just a minute ago, actually, when it comes to the 24th pick and what it would bring, the type of prospect it would bring, the type of player it would bring. And I think me and you both are on the same boat. We're both looking for powerful moves. And I'm not saying the 24th pick, which was Omax, is not going to be a powerful move. But as far as, you know, a known commodity, something that this very season coming up is going to pay dividends, I love what happened. Because they didn't really need a draft pick. They need someone that's a proven commodity.
This is what Monty McNair said about what that pick did for, or that trade did for them.
We always value the optionality and flexibility when we can acquire it. We've got, I think, a really – this was a great season, for a lot of reasons. And we want to have a long playoff run here and continue to compete. And to do that in today's NBA, you have to be able to build your team out, not just in the very near term, but over the course of many years. And so we're always having that balance, right? Well, what can we do to add to the team now, but how does that affect what we can do going forward? So we think, what we were able to do tonight, what we've done going back to the deadline in past years, will give us a lot of options, not just this summer, but as we get into next year.
Yeah, $35.6 million of flexibility, which is another word for what Jay has been saying all day. Options for the Sacramento Kings this offseason. And if they added one player who can contribute last night, Jay, and Colby Jones, maybe a two-way player in Slauson, and then you bring in Vezenkov and maybe one or two more players with the $35.6 million that you have now to work with, you're talking about adding three, four guys to the number three seed in the Western Conference last year who can come in here and help you win now to varying degrees. That's a very intriguing thing to me when it comes to the Sacramento Kings. Meanwhile, as soon as they get all that money, of course, the thing everybody's trying to figure out is, what are you going to do with all that money?
That's right.
Where are we going to spend all that money?
Come on now.
And
put it in my pocket.
The name that seems to have popped up, and to some's delight, some's joy, others' shock and dismay, was, I'll let Brian Windhorst tell you.
Okay, I want to go back to the Kings.
You got to figure out what's going on in Sacramento.
And give Pelton credit here. Pelton mentioned this. Mike Brown is extraordinarily close to Draymond Green. Extraordinarily close. Mike Brown was the Draymond Green whisperer with the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Draymond Green is a free agent. They now have the money if they want to give him a premium over what he opted out of in Golden State.
Okay.
Now, I do believe that Draymond wants to be a Warrior. And I do believe that the trade for Jordan Poole today puts the Warriors in good position to be able to keep their books in a fashion where they can keep Draymond and keep Klay Thompson if they both sign contracts that are pay cuts or at least mildly flat to where they are. But the Kings can now go hunting for Draymond Green if they wish. And that would be extraordinarily interesting because it is the exact type of player that they need, and there's already it'd be interesting with Sabonis. That would be interesting first practice.
The fans would have to do something.
That would be an extraordinarily interesting situation. Holy Moses.
I couldn't think of a music bed that says Brian Windhorst and his energy level right there less.
That definitely wasn't Brian Windhorst music.
Oh,
sounds like somebody, and I don't know who that was, sounded like somebody in the back almost cursed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like right at the end, I think he said shoot or something like that, but it sounded very, very close.
Right. I don't know if this money was freed up for Draymond, Jay, but I'd be okay with it. I'd be all right. If Draymond was part of the $35 million plan this offseason on how to upgrade the Sacramento Kings, I'm okay with it. And as for all the Domas Sabonis stuff and whatever other bad blood he brewed in that playoff series, get over it. I say that to Kings fans and to anybody on the Kings who might not be able to let it go. Scottie Pippen has a scar in his chin from Dennis Rodman to this day, and they went and won three championships together. You can get over this stuff and be a professional and go out and play good basketball together, and I think that it would work. He brings a lot of things to this team that the Kings could use. His age doesn't necessarily fit the timeline, but at the same time, if this is a team that's ready to compete and win championships now, we know that's something Draymond knows a thing or two about.
Absolutely. I would say John Hollinger from The Athletic, he had an article that we talked about earlier, and he listed guys in the free agency that is available and the ranking different tiers. And Draymond, to my surprise, was ranked kind of tier two or tier three.
Lower in tier two.
Yeah, and it was John Hollinger believes he's going to get at $24 million a year. I would have thought Draymond would have got 30, you know, and I know he just got out of the 27-28 million. But if you're going to give me Draymond for 24, I'm with it, brother. I'm going to try it.
I got love for the boy.
Yeah, absolutely.
You still got 11 to play with.
Come on,
still
now.
Still got 11 to play with if you can get Draymond in at 24.
$1 million
in
money.
Cap space. Mid-level exception, TPE as well. Listen, if you can get Draymond for 24, I'm intrigued. I'm at least picking up the phone as Monty McNair, and of course I got my buddy Mike Brown on the line, because as we've heard, Mike Brown is the Draymond Whisperer, which I had no idea Draymond had a shaman. I didn't know he had a whisperer. If you would have told me if there was a person in the NBA who doesn't have a whisperer, it'd be Draymond. He kind of, he doesn't whisper. He pretty much yells himself. He lets everybody know on the podcast about how he feels.
So if Mike Brown's not there last year, Jordan Poole's not laying in a puddle of his drool on the practice floor?
I guess according to Brian Windhorst, but I'm in on Draymond at $24 million. I think if you push it over that, I'm probably out, but I like the attributes that Draymond is going to bring, and that's kind of a lot of his attributes is what I'm looking for when it comes for the Sacramento Kings.
And having Mike Brown here makes me feel a lot better about whatever repercussions or side effects might come with bringing in a Draymond Green.
There's going to be a few of them.
There's going to be a few of them for sure, but I think Mike Brown minimizes that. Yes. You know what I mean? You know what I'm intrigued by, Jay? Are you looking up at what's on our TV?
This hacky right sack here, or whatever this stuff is called, man.
The cornhole league.
Yeah, cornhole, man.
American cornhole league.
Yeah, whatever, bro.
Hacky sack.
That's called bean bags on a wooden plank.
This might be my only shot at being a pro athlete. Don't knock it, Jay.
Oh, well, look, I've seen you do you.
You've seen my work on the cornhole
championship
board.
Level with yours,
I'm
brother.
I'm telling you. I,
I need Sackcloth magic.
I need to know where the tryouts or whatever the case might be.
We're going to have to line you up,
bro. How do I get my sponsors? You know what I mean?
Johnsonville and all. Bush's Beans.
These guys got patches all over there. You know how much money is on these dudes' shirts?
Sponsorship.
For playing cornhole? I'm good at cornhole, man. I'm telling you. I got some skills.
With different size bean bags.
Doesn't matter what size the hole, miniature. The bean bag, the board. I don't care.
If Chris was here, the size of the hole would have got him. I'm telling you. Even if he's listening right now, he is conjuring up a meme to send to us.
Poor Verlotte is under the weather today. I hope it wasn't me. I was told I'm not contagious. Jay, Simone, you're both feeling all right so far.
I messaged him, and I was like, did Rami get you sick? And he said no.
And Verlotte is quick to blame me
for
something.
I know.
So if I did, he would have let me know for sure.
You, Dave, or Jason, for sure. Top three.
We are quick to blame John Fisher for things. That's because they're all his fault. We'll do it more next.
Cattles
and Rami.
Sacktown Sports.
It is Cattles and Rami. Oh, I got to do something. Hold on real quick. the Sacramento Kings are hosting the fifth. Are we ready for this, Simone? Are we equipped
for this? Absolutely, always.
The Sacramento Kings are hosting the fifth annual California Classic Summer League on July 3rd and 5th with an expanded lineup of teams preparing for NBA action.
It's on TV.
Kings need you in the building. Hit up the Folsom Lake Honda Hot Contest line right now, looking for caller number
5-2,
okay. Simone said, to 800-920-1140. Caller number 2 to 800-920-1140 will win 2-day passes to the California Classic.
Rami, it was on TV while you were talking about it, literally.
Yeah. Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, 2-day passes for $42 if you don't slide in to grab that second pick. Ooh. I mean, excuse me, that second call for Simone. I'm in draft mode right now. I'm my second pick.
So go ahead. Caller number 2. Oh, wow. They're blowing up.
You going to the Cali Classic, brother?
I might try to hit up a game or two.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I know it, like, the Summer League, you buy a ticket for the day, right? Because it's game after game after game after. It's like a pro-am type thing.
Correct.
Where it's just back to back. Is it the same with the California Classic?
Brother.
It's like a day
sessions.
Pass? Oh, okay.
Yeah, sessions. They call it sessions. The great thing about Vegas is the Max and, excuse me, the Max, the Cox and the Mac are connected. So you just kind of have a breezeway, a walkway.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic because Cox is smaller, the Mac is huge, you know, it's bigger, UNLV. And I love Summer League.
I've heard it's one of the funnest experiences, dude, for a basketball fan that you'll
for
find.
Me, it's the best NBA experience. And this year they got the NBA Con 7th through the 9th for the first time ever, and that's going to be at Mandalay Bay. Dude, I'm amped.
I've heard, Jay, that it's comparable to spring training in baseball. Like, if you're a baseball fan, because it's competitive, but at the same time, it's laid back and casual. It's a laid back, casual atmosphere. You know what I mean?
Very. On top of the only thing.
And the good weather and the parties.
I was about to say it's Vegas. Mm-hmm. On top of that, it's going to be scorching. Of course, it's going to be a million degrees. But the other thing I really like about Summer League compared to, and I've done both, of course, with spring training and all that type of stuff in Peoria, Arizona. The one thing I really like about Summer League is the entire NBA embarks on Vegas. Literally, like, the entire league, and you just never know who you're going to see.
Yeah.
And most of the time, it's just, like you said, it's guys in shorts and tennis shoes. I mean, even the GMs, the front office guys, you know, they might pop a collar one time, but everything else, staying in khaki pleated shorts like Jim Harbaugh, and they got the kicks. I love it, man. I would love Summer League,
check it out sometime.
Players just attainable. You know, they taking pictures because, you know, the new autograph is a picture. Nobody wants an autograph. They want a picture.
The selfie.
Right? Yeah. Of course.
Let me get the selfie.
Love it, man. You'll walk down and you'll see De'Aaron Fox, and at the same time, you're going to see Kevin Garnett. At the same time, you're going to see Rami.
I hate to do this to you, but it's just a solid transition.
Yep.
And in a few years, you'll be able to go right down the street and probably catch an A's game.
I'm done with you.
Sorry.
It's over with.
I'm sorry.
I got no love for you.
It's just a good transition. I couldn't
talk about Vegas.
I couldn't pass it up. I'm sorry. Right, man. I just couldn't pass up.
Suddenly, I got sick.
I'm a radio guy. I couldn't pass up a good transition when I saw it. But hopefully that's not the case. And hopefully the A's stay in Oakland. Did I fix it? Did I save it? Now, hopefully they stay in Oakland. But Mayor Shang Tao was this the Oakland ABC station? Do I have that right? I want to say it's the Oakland ABC station.
I believe it was.
Where she does a monthly appearance. She was asked, have you heard anything from the A's since all this went down?
I have not heard from the A's at all. And we know that, yes, the Nevada legislature has passed a public financing bill. And my view is if the A's ownership wants to go to Vegas, they should petition for an expansion team and let the A's stay in their home. And I think, frankly, it's a huge missed opportunity if MLB allows for owners to leave a city that has bent over backwards to accommodate them and a fan base that has more than proven their loyalty.
And that seems to be, I don't know if I want to say picking up steam, because I don't know that anybody is taking the idea seriously who needs to take the idea seriously for it to happen, Jay. But that's, we had Eno Saris from The Athletic on last week, and that's what he said would probably be the right solution thing. Is if the A's want to go to Vegas, let them go to Vegas.
That's right.
But they don't take the A's with them. John Fisher, they get an expansion team in
Salamanders.
In they get to take the roster and
the Sidewinders
and everything else that goes with
Spiders.
It. But they leave behind the A's in terms of the colors, the logo, the lore, the history. They stay the Oakland A's, and whoever this new owner is works out this deal with the mayor and the city of Oakland that they seem very willing to sit at the table and work out.
Yes.
If somebody at the A's in Major League Baseball would just sit down with them and seriously negotiate in good faith.
Love it. I'm absolutely with it. You, Eno Saris was the first person that I heard say this, and I don't know why this had popped in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It also, on a personal note, Rami allows me to continue to wear my A's gear.
Exactly.
That's
a sharp hat you're wearing today.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
It becomes a throwback, so to say, a Mitchell and Ness type joint, a retro style. I'm with that, man. If the A's, the name, the brand, the color, the culture, the history goes along to Vegas, I'm out. I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm not rocking. I'm not from Vegas. I'm not from Oakland, but I'm closer to Oakland than I am from Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Different state, cross the borders. No disrespect to Las Vegas. Neo and Bryce Harper and a bunch of guys that's out that way. But I don't want the Las Vegas A's. I'll take the Salamanders over the A's, and I respect that you guys have a team. And you took, a torrid Oakland A's team out that way. But go ahead and leave that green and gold right there in the town.
Yep.
98th Street, Engelberger. Yep. You know what I mean? Hagenberger, excuse me, right there in East Oakland. That's what I'm looking for. Let me jump off the BART, and maybe 5 years down the road, I'll go to another A's game. Don't take the team. Don't take the culture. Don't take the shield is what I'm saying. As we talked about Raiders, I asked plenty of people, would you still root for the Raiders knowing they're in Las Vegas? And a lot of people who were kind of down the middle was like, I'll probably always rep the shield, but I'm not sure if I can rep the team anymore.
I mean, if there's any compromise in John Fisher and Rob Manfred in Major League Baseball, that's it right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they are putting public money out for a new stadium. It's just not as much as John Fisher wants. But it's enough for most situations. It's enough. And not just the money, but the land grants that they're also putting out there for the area around the field. So if there's any compromise in Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball, John Fisher – That seems to be the one for me. Meanwhile, the mayor was also asked about the reverse boycott, which A's fans so successfully staged last week.
Again, I'm just so proud of the fans. It was you had to be there. The energy was electrifying. It was amazing. It felt like you were at the Battle of the Bay game all over again, right? And you saw the love and the passion for the team. And so for anyone who tries to use an excuse around like, oh, well, we don't have a strong fan base. Well, I call total BS on that, because we saw with our own two eyes, we felt the energy.
And you did feel it. You saw it. And even the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame recognized it and saw the energy and the love that A's fans put out there, to the degree that those sell shirts that they were giving out, they're headed to Cooperstown, Jay.
Come on now.
To be put on display. And I know because a lot of people do mix this up. A lot of people are probably going, well, if you love A's fans so much, why aren't you keeping the team in Oakland? Major League Baseball is not the Hall of Fame. Those are two separate entities.
Correct.
And the Hall of Fame, specifically John Shestakovsky.
Okay.
He told the Hall of Fame Vice President of Communications. He told the Mercury News it was important to document the protest. He said, quote, "We are here to document history and preserve that history as it relates to baseball and it relates to the game. That happens on the field when a significant accomplishment takes place, but it also happens off the field." So you did enough that the Hall of Fame took notice, man. A's fans. Hopefully Rob Manfred and John Fisher and the powers that be in baseball and within this whole situation have taken notice based on that reverse boycott, and something can be done.
Very well said, my man. Unfortunately, Rob Manfred and the owner and president and front office and a lot of guys down there in Oakland, I don't think they really care at this point, man. I think it's more financial, you know, and taking the feeling and emotions out of it. It's just about socking it to the pocket at this point when it comes to John Fisher. But I do appreciate the fact that the Baseball Hall of Fame has recognized that us Oakland A's fans, we get down. That's faithful. What we do. Super Ash. Faithful. Been around for many moons.
Yes, sir.
Before John Fisher, you know, before Rob Manfred, yeah. Before Jay Johnson, you know. I mean, come on now. Stop playing with us out in these streets, Rami.
We got to get to a break. The callback is next.
I'm going to light up these phone lines.
The phone is ringing,
and we are checking to see who's on the line.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
News, gossip, a story.
Okay, who's the next victim?
It's the callback.
On Cattles and Rami.
It is time for the callback here on Cattles and Rami. And want to do a little something different with the callback today and just go back and listen to some of the more fun, interesting moments from the NBA draft last night. We talked a lot about the Thompson twins on the show yesterday, Jay, and they ended up going, 4-5 in the NBA draft?
Yep.
And we talked about the fact that while, yes, they're living their dream, they're also going to be separated from each other for the first time, really, in their whole lives. They've lived and played basketball together from the day they were born, literally. Like, you throw that around a lot. Yep. Literally, from the day they were born, they've been attached at the hip. And Amen Thompson said his brother Asur, like a bad partner in a divorce, just grabbing everything.
Well, look, I understand that you guys are having to divide up your belongings because this will be the first time that you ever live separately. So what are, like, the key items that you're fighting over in terms of, like, you know, clothes and shoes?
He got to keep the PS5. I got to buy me one.
Ah.
That's the main one so far, but we've been fighting over shoes, too.
Which shoes?
These Jordan Travis Scott's. He got those too.
Oh.
So I'm losing everything. It's like a bad divorce.
How do you get the PS5 and the Jordan kicks? Travis Scott's? Man, How does that work?
He must got a heck of a lawyer. He's wheeling and dealing.
Where's your prenup?
I know,
where's
man.
Where's your prenup, Amen Thompson?
I'm trying to tell you, brother. He's taking some L's.
You know, I never really thought about the benefit of being a twin and the double wardrobe and double shoes. That's got to be pretty sweet, right?
Yeah.
Especially if you're both sneakerheads. You know what I mean? That I can go get a pair. You can go get a pair. And then,
right.
Like, whatever matches our outfits, we'll just rock that night.
I think you go that way compared to a lot of twins kind of dressed the same, or at least when you're younger, you get dressed the same.
Yeah.
Now, of course, if it's a young lady and a young man, that's a little different, but if they're, you know, both the young ladies or both, you know, boys, stop dressing the same, right? Like, I guess that's the point of it is.
I'm telling you right now.
They're dressed the same.
If I was a father to twins, first of all, I'd be terrified. I mean, second of all, I'm definitely not dressing them the same.
One yellow, one blue.
How am I supposed to tell them apart?
Agreed.
You know what I mean?
Agreed.
If they're identical?
Yep.
No, I'm dressing them different. I'm putting their initials on their shirts, on all their shirts, just so I can see which one of those fools I'm talking to. Meanwhile, Brandon Miller went number 2 to the Charlotte Hornets, and we talked yesterday, Jay, about leading up to the draft. Brandon Miller said Paul George was his GOAT.
Who?
He also told a story about how Michael Jordan airballed a free throw at his workout. We were like, man, this dude doesn't even want to be a Charlotte. Mm-mm. He's trying to piss off Michael Jordan. And he didn't stop after Jordan drafted him.
I can say working out in front of Michael Jordan. I think all people would think I would be pressured because, you know, of course he's Michael Jordan, but Michael Jordan was never the guy I grew up watching. Kind of grew up watching Paul George, so I think Michael Jordan was just a regular guy to me in the gym watching me work out.
Regular guy.
So, I mean, it was definitely cool meeting him. He definitely sounds like how he sounds on TV, always trash talking. So I just really had a fun time with him.
But you also mentioned within that he's just like he is on TV. He's talking trash. So that, what did he say to you?
He told me I was just a shooter, just shooting threes. So, I mean, it's nothing. I know my talents and my abilities.
Right.
Can't really let Jordan get in your head, you know. It might make him feel good and make you feel bad. So, kind of talked some trash back to him. I witnessed him airball the free throw, too.
Jordan airballed the free throw?
I always have that up against him.
Was he having a free throw? How did that happen? Was he having a contest with
you? It's him just being old.
He shot MJ down a few times. Dude's a regular dude in the gym. Just a cat watching me shoot.
I don't care what he says to
me. Just a regular guy.
Dude, not even worried about him.
So pedestrian.
Didn't grow up watching him.
Why would I care about his trash talk? Suit don't even fit. What are we talking about here?
Not even getting ready to be my owner no more.
Throw that in.
A dude who's got season tickets.
Maybe that's what this is. He knows this ain't going to be his boss in 2 weeks.
I will say this. Simone, you can answer this a little more, too.
Sure.
You are 10 years younger than me at this point, and I know you're into sports. I know you keep an eye on it, but can you attest to this? I think there is a age barrier we're getting ready to start to hit with Jordan, too, where it becomes people, you know, 30 and under.
You didn't see him.
He's just a regular guy.
Yeah.
And he's just a regular guy that's on my tennis shoe, on my brand, on my t-shirt, on my hoodie, on my Nike Tech, you know,
it's
that type
so
of stuff.
So true when they didn't see him play, you know, they weren't there for the Space Jams of it all. It's tragic.
Started watching Space Jam again.
That was the first DVD we ever had.
No, the first one. I never watched
the second one. Even count a Space Jam?
I didn't even watch it.
No, I don't even know.
It was a bad movie.
You're asking the wrong. Was it? Okay.
It was a bad movie.
I figured. Meanwhile, the awkwardness.
Kids didn't like it.
The awkwardness didn't stop there around the Charlotte Hornets and the drafting of Brandon Miller. Their GM, Mitch Kupchak, he was asked, what was it about Brandon Miller that made you go with him as the second pick in the draft?
Well, everything that we, you know, every answer they got, we got to every question. You know, I would say, you know, he is a freshman, right? So, you know, he's a little bit, you know, I would say younger than, I wouldn't say younger. Nah, I bet I didn't even go in that direction, actually.
If you can make out what he said or what he meant, go ahead. Simone, Rami, can you guys help me?
I can translate it for you.
Okay, please.
I didn't make this damn pick. Why are you asking me? Go talk to MJ. That would have been what I would have walked into that press conference and know, just like Brandon Miller, knowing Michael Jordan ain't my boss in two weeks, and I probably don't have this job in 2 weeks.
Right.
I'd be like, hey, guys, I didn't make the pick. I don't have the answer to any of your questions. You have a great off season. Good night. Peace out, y'all.
It's above me.
And just walk out. What answers to what questions that we heard before the draft even happened? Michael Jordan had final say. He was making the pick. Why put Mitch Kupchak out there in front of those cameras and those microphones? Why put that man in that position?
Because MJ rarely talks, you know, unless it's in front of a tablet about Isaiah Thomas. But, I mean, look, according to Brandon Miller, he's just one of them regular dudes, man. You know, somebody that just hangs out in the gym.
He's a habitual line stepper.
I'm not exactly sure what Mitch Kupchak was bringing to the table on that answer.
Well, he started to say Brandon Miller was younger, and then he realized Scoot Henderson is actually young.
I couldn't even go with the age here. The age thing.
He wanted some. He grasped at a straw. Then he was like, man, that straw doesn't even work.
And he's taller. He's taller.
Finally, a guy who a lot of people maybe didn't know about till last night when he showed up in the Dorothy jacket, the ruby red jacket.
Absolutely.
Grady Dick. Well, he achieved the dream of being an NBA player, getting drafted by the Toronto Raptors. So what's next on the old bucket list, Grady?
Now I'm looking forward to it. Got to get out there, see Drake. I've been sending a bunch, but I'm looking forward to that.
You hyped to become boys with Drake? Overnight, it's going to happen.
Of course. That's the goal. I need him to wear my jersey. That's how I know. That's my priority. Now I'm looking forward to it.
All he wants.
Gotta get out there, see Drake. I've been sending a bunch, but I'm looking forward to that.
All he wants is for Drake to be wearing his jersey, to be boys with Drake.
We all have
we all have dreams,
dreams and goals. Did you see the University Daily Kansan had him and said Big Energy? Did you see that picture where he's on the front page and he's like,
pretty cool.
He's dunking, you know, whatever, Big Energy.
I see what they did there.
Yes, Big Energy on the bottom. His name.
Grady Dick. There you go. In the middle. You see what they did there? See what they
did? Big Energy.
Watch what we do. And in other news, it's coming up next.
Did you catch all the week's headlines? Check the headline. Check the headline. Here's the headline. Let the fellas fill you in on this week's In Other News.
Like to have some fun on a Friday to close things out, bring you some of the more weird, wacky, wild news stories from in and out of the world of sports. Have you guys heard about this cannibal cricket invasion in Nevada? Have you guys heard about this?
No.
Might be the end times.
No.
We might be.
I've seen pictures.
In the end times. Mormon crickets, a.k.a. Cannibal crickets, have taken over a Nevada town and gone viral on social media after one resident posted a disturbing video. The insects are big, stinky, and cannibalistic. Mormon crickets are out in full force in Elko, Nevada, blanketing. And I've seen the pictures and the videos. I mean, blanketing buildings and roads. They leave behind a stench so horrible, akin to burning flesh, that it forces residents to plug their noses while driving. The critters stick to tires and the bottoms of shoes, and their carcasses are everywhere, even in gyms. And Lisa Matthews, a real estate resident in Elko, posted a TikTok video that went viral, in which she is quoted saying with laughter, "I mean, we're using humor here in El Elko to really get by. I mean, what else are you going to do? It's not like you can walk out there and be like, hey, guys, let's ship it on out." I don't know about you guys. That's exactly what I'm doing. Like, if my if my town gets taken over by crickets, by cannibal crickets,
and they
nonetheless
stink?
They smell bad. And, like, they're literally everywhere. They're, like, they're sticking to people's tires, the bottom of people's shoes. They're getting in school gyms. Folks are using anything and everything to get rid of these things, including power washers, brooms, sweeps, leaf blowers. Some have resorted to chemical pressure washers.
Wow.
Like, this is a problem. And the reason this has happened, apparently, is they usually hatch in the spring, but because of a unusually damp spring, they didn't hatch until now, which gave them time to lay more eggs and more of them.
Ugh.
And now it is an issue in Elko.
You remove
Nevada.
A vampire.
Pretty much.
I'm getting the hell out of Elko, Nevada, if I live there.
Dude, that's...
I'm not dealing with a cricket invasion. I'm sorry.
Could you imagine if that got into your clothes or some kind of form
that's
of
some end,
your car?
That's some biblical end times type of stuff, man. No, I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I got to find a new place to live.
You can have it?
Yeah, it's theirs now. It's the Crickets town now. It's Cricket Nevada is what it is. Elect a cricket mayor. I don't give a damn. I'm leaving. I'm out.
So gross.
It's theirs.
Put together a cricket police force, fire department, whole thing. Do your thing, man. I'm out. I'm done.
A mayor the whole nine?
Little suit. Put him in a little suit. So stupid.
You are the absolute worst.
Cricket City, man. It's there. Simone, I'm going to let Simone go. You know why? Let's give a shout out to Simone, man.
She's been killing it.
She's been doing her 1-2 step over the last couple of years. Her first time as a producer running it by herself without any assistance. Man, go ahead, Simone. You jump on in there.
I just wanted to touch on what's going on in Philly really quickly. I know we all probably heard about what happened to their I-95 freeway and that collapsing, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It was about 12 days ago. And they just reopened it, and the Phillies mascots all got together and drove across the bridge first.
What? All the like all the Philadelphia
yes,
mascots?
All of them. We had the Eagles. We have, is it Fanatic?
Philly Fanatic. Yes. What's that weird Flyers mascot that
yes,
they got?
Yes,
what's that
with
dude's
the googly
name?
Eyes.
He's scary.
Oh, my God.
What is that, dude's name? That dude's weird. He's weird. He's scary. I don't like him. He freaks me out. What is a Flyers mascot?
Flyers
name?
Mascot. Yeah, what is his name? It pops straight up, right? Gritty.
Gritty.
That's Gritty, his name. That's
Gritty.
His name.
I should have known that from Abbott Elementary, too.
Simone, who was driving?
The firefighters. They were fire truck. Yeah.
I thought they let one of the mascots drive.
Like, I don't think that would work with their shoes, but yeah, that's Philly for you.
That's outstanding.
Yes,
and,
we love
and
that.
And glad they got it back up
Absolutely.
And running.
Very quick turnaround. I'm very proud of them.
Absolutely.
Yes, go sir. Off.
And safety, too. Absolutely. Dude.
Let's this see how one, we can do those things.
Yeah, it yeah, does. Yeah.
Look at that.
This one is close to home, fam. A restaurant chain in California enlisted a fake priest to take confessions from workers, with the supposed father urging them to get the sins out by telling him if they've been late for work or had stolen from their employer, according to the U.S. Department
That's
of Labor.
Low down and dirty, man.
Come on, man. The restaurant
That's as
owner.
Low down and dirty as you can get.
The restaurant owner, C-H-E, I don't know how to spell that name. Someone may be listening of their family. Garibaldi operates two Taquita Garibaldi restaurants in Sacramento and one in Roseville. According to the statement from the Labor Department, attorneys for the restaurant company didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. The alleged priest also asked workers if they harbored bad intentions, Rami, toward their employer, or if they're done anything in harm the company, said the agency, which was called one of the most shameless scams that the labor regulator has
that is
ever
shameless.
Seen.
That's shameless, slow down, and dirty is what that is. You brought in a fake priest to take confessions
crazy.
From the workers. And snitch them, rat themselves out about
it's despicable.
Any intentions or things that they might have done in the workplace. That's gross.
The DOC of Sacramento has also investigated the issue and said it found no evidence of connection between the two alleged priests and its jurisdiction, according to the Catholic News Agency. Unlike normal confessions, hiring an alleged fake priest to solicit confessions wasn't the restaurant chain's only wrongdoing. According to government officials, a court last month ordered Garibaldi's owner to pay $140,000 in back wages and damages to 35 employees. The restaurant chain's owner allegedly brought in the fake priest after the Labor Department started investigating workplace issues. According to the Labor Department, its investigation found that the company had denied overtime to pay workers, paid managers for money customers had left as employee tips, and threatened workers with relation
on,
and
man.
Adverse immigration consequences for working with the agency, according to the agency.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. Local in our
and
backyard,
the fake priest
brother.
Thing, that's as low down and dirty as you can get. That is not okay. I don't think I'm telling anybody anything they don't know when I say that is not okay.
One of the employees, former server at the restaurant, was asked, he asked if I ever got pulled over for speeding, if I drank alcohol, if I had stolen anything, she said. The priest also asked if I had stolen anything at work, if I was late to on my appointment, if I did anything to harm my employer, and if I had any bad intentions toward my employment.
If you're a priest, I'm not gonna drop asks her you name. Any of that, they are not a real priest. That is, those are not the Tell type me. Of confessions that they're after. Can I get one more quick one in? This isn't so much a news story, but an interview. This was Harrison Ford talking to Esquire magazine. And they asked, what kinds of questions do Star Wars super fans ask you? And he said, well, they usually ask me, if there was a fight between Han Solo and Indiana Jones, who would bleep and win? And I say, me, bleep hole.
That's right.
I don't want to bleeping make bleep up like that.
Come on.
I mean, what are you asking me that crap for?
Come on.
That is the perfect response.
Indiana.
Yeah.
Better get it right.
He's both. He wins. That's who wins. Don't get too nerdy.
Iconic.
I'm a nerd, but don't get too nerdy with it. That's where you draw the line, and I'm glad Harrison Ford drew the line there. Our thanks to everybody out there for listening. Thanks to Coach Bob Ritchie of Furman. If you missed that or anything on today's show, check it out at SacktownSports.com, the app, YouTube.com/SacktownSports. For Jay, Simone, who did a great job this week on the other side of the glass, Rami saying thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday at 2.